The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. Welcome to all who are joining us online, wherever you are. You're extremely welcome. And as we come together this morning, I hope on the way in everybody will have seen the notices for the week that is to come. You'll see most of our regular weekly activities are happening again, which is great to see as the autumn commences. And just wanted to mention in particular a couple of things that are happening this week that don't happen every week. And first one is on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, the Ladies Afternoon Friendship Group are hosting an open meeting. It's open to everybody. And they have a very special speaker coming this coming Wednesday afternoon from the Samaritan's Purse organization. And it's an organization that used to coordinate the shoebox appeal. And the speaker who's coming to speak on Wednesday afternoon is a man who has worked in a lot of the disaster zones of the world. And he's going to come and share something of his experience of those projects that he's been working on around the world, very often in very difficult times. And it promises to be a very interesting meeting. It's at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And everybody, it's open to all. So if you're free and you'd like to come along, you'd be very, very welcome. Our service is next Sunday, our Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. The Connect service is here at 11. And next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Holy Communion. On your way into church today, you'll have seen on the seats envelopes for the Bishop's Appeal. And that's because the Bishop's Appeal has just launched a formal appeal right across the Church of Ireland for assistance for Libya after the recent disaster with flooding in Libya. And again, all parishes have been invited to participate in this appeal if you're in a position to do so. If you are a UK taxpayer and you use the envelopes that are on the seats and you fill in your details on them, the Bishop's Appeal can claim 25% more than your contribution at no cost to yourself. So it's well worth doing if you are a UK taxpayer and if you are in a position to contribute to that appeal. So that's the envelopes which are on the seats this morning. As we come together, we're going to stand as we sing our opening hymn together. It's hymn number 80 if you're using a red church hymnal, and it's Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer, and that begins on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer, if you're following in that, and all the responses will appear on the screen. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, and in negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm of praise for God's goodness. And we're going to say together Psalm 145, verses 1 to 8. If you're following in the prayer book, it's on page 760. And again, all the words appear on the screen. So Psalm 145, verses 1 to 8, and that's on page 760. I will exalt you.
I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord. His greatness is beyond all searching out. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. They shall speak of the majesty of your glory, and I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. They shall speak of the might of your marvelous acts, and I will also tell of your greatness. They shall pour forth the story of your abundant kindness, and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, long-suffering and of great goodness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
If you'd like to be seated now for our Bible reading, Peter Armstrong is going to come and read our Old Testament reading.
The first reading is taken from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that grumble, that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given to you to eat."
We're going to respond to our reading as we sing our next hymn together. And as we sing this hymn, the children and young people and their leaders will be making their way out to Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together from Thanks and Praise number 64, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." And if you'd like to be seated, Peter's going to bring our second reading to us now.
The second reading is taken from the Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 30. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and journey in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in the one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything but by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Here ends the readings.
We're going to respond to those readings and declare our faith in the Lord who loves us as we stand together and proclaim together the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is on page 112. Let us pray. We're going to pray the words of the special collect for today. That's the special prayer for each Sunday in the church's year. Today is the 16th Sunday after Trinity. And in our prayer, we ask for God's guidance upon our lives. O Lord, hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And as we think this morning of God's faithfulness and his guidance to us, we're going to sing together our next hymn, which reflects this theme, as we sing hymn number 81, Lord for the Years.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to join together in worship this morning. We give you ourselves, we give you our focus and our concentration, and we ask that you will meet with us this morning. Amen. So, I don't know if you remember, there was an advert on TV going back a few years now, and the question in the advert was, daddy or chips? A wee girl called Sophie was asked, what do you prefer, daddy or chips? Not if you remember that advert. Yeah. So her sister asked her this question on the school bus, and she just ponders that all day, daddy or chips? And it's not until she gets home at the end of the day and her dad steals one of her chips and she decides, yeah, chips. Definitely prefer. It's funny how some adverts do stick with you. Some adverts are better than others. And like Sophie, that wee girl, we all have our preferences. We prefer, for example, we might prefer one route into town over another. We might prefer one singer or songwriter over another. We might prefer one way of speaking over another. And sometimes our preferences go deeper. We might prefer one style of worship over another. We might prefer one way of speaking about God or with God over another way. We have all sorts of preferences. And in many ways, to prefer is to be human, to weigh up, to come to conclusions, is deeply rooted in our very humanity. Paul, the writer of our New Testament reading today, he wrote that letter to the church in Philippi. He was never behind the door when it came to expressing a preference or expressing an opinion. And he backed up almost all of his conclusions and his opinions with scripture and the conclusions he drew from the Old Testament, because that was what he was about, expressing his belief and understanding of Christ based on the history of scripture. But sometimes he was a little close to the bone. Sometimes, well, he was never behind the door. He had opinions about all sorts of things. He had opinions about haircuts. He had opinions about who he wanted as travel companions and who he didn't want as travel companions. And a strange opinion that he appears to express is about people from Crete. Nobody here from Crete today. Right, good. So I'm gonna offend some people, but not anyone from Crete. He quotes a philosopher who says, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." There would have been pros and cons to inviting Paul round for Christmas dinner. You would have had moments where you would say, "Oh, come on, Grandad. Not now." And actually, it does us no harm to remember that God used this wonderful and yet imperfect human being, Paul, to spread his word to so many people. He was an earnest, devout, and loving man. And in many ways, he was ahead of his time, even though at the same time, he was a man of his time. In Philippians 1:21, read for us beautifully this morning, Paul gives us an insight into his inmost heart of who he was and what made Paul into Paul. Now, life was hard for Paul. To the Corinthians, he once wrote, "I've worked hard, been put in prison, been whipped, timed without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked." And the list goes on. It's exhausting. And to his beloved Philippians, he confesses that on reflection, he would prefer now that Christ took him to be with himself. Paul writes, "For me, for Paul, to live is Christ, but to die is even better. To live is to live for and with Christ. All I do is wrapped up in my Lord. All I do, I dedicate to him. I've weighed it all up, and Christ is more of a treasure to me than anything. I regret nothing, but to die would outweigh all of this. To die would be to finally be with, to possess, and be possessed by the person I love more than anyone." He's not saying that to live or die is a choice he's got to make. He knows it's not in his hands to make. But he does know that his next stage in life will be his greatest. 100 years ago, or so it seems, I was in a particular Bible study group. And in this group, we could speak quite openly with one another, which is always a good thing to be able to do. And I remember the question of eternal life, heaven, came up as a conversation. And I remember asking folks, "Are you looking forward to heaven? Is it something you're looking for?" And the answer surprised me. Generally, in the room, the answer was, "Not particularly. I'm fine here. Things are okay here. I've got a holiday booked. I've got a holiday in Crete booked." I was thinking, not fussed about heaven and going to Crete. Don't you read the New Testament at all? Now, before I go on, I do need to say, I've never been to Crete. I know people who have, and they tell me that they're the most lovely people there, very hospitable, and that the food is absolutely amazing. So we'll knock that on the head now. But Paul would also agree, because he said those things. He quoted a philosopher of the time to make a comment about humanity in a broader sense. But many of our lives are not like Paul's. By that, I don't mean that we're philosophers or evangelists or travelers, but I mean that for a lot of us, our life is more settled than Paul's. It's a bit easier. Not very easy for some of us, but for a lot of us, we know what's coming next. We're comfortable. We're self-sufficient in the here and now, and we find heaven can wait. A physics professor once asked her students how they would use a barometer to measure the height of a tall building. She hoped that what the students would do is say, well, I'd measure the air pressure at the bottom of the building, I'd measure the air pressure at the top, and I'd compare readings. She did get that answer from a few people, but she also got some other answers. One student said, I'd tie a long piece of string around the barometer, I'd let that piece of string down from the top floor of the building, and I'd measure the string. Another student said, I'd drop the barometer from the roof and time how long it took to hit the ground, and that would give me a reading of how high the building is. And my favorite answer was, a student said, I would knock on the door of the building superintendent, and I would offer the superintendent a gift of a barometer, if only they would tell me how tall the building is. Barometers are great, they're useful things, and they even make good wall decorations. You can have them there, and it tells you roughly what the weather could be like today. Is today a day for hanging up the laundry or not? For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That phrase in itself is a good barometer reading. It is a sentence that we can use to take the pressure, take the reading of our own relationship with Jesus now and what we feel and believe about what's down the line. What fills our heart at the prospect of dying? Are we filled with trepidation, joy, fear, relief? Because we know the saying is, nothing's sure as death and taxes. And my understanding is that after you die, you get taxed further. Is that right? Brilliant. It's a certainty for all of us. Death is a strange idea because even though it's such a certainty for all of us, we often don't like to look at it. Remember your Greek mythology, Medusa. Medusa, you'll remember, was a gorgon, a winged snake-haired creature, and to look her in the eye meant you would turn into stone. And sometimes death is like that. We know it's there, but we don't want to look it in the eye for fear of the can of worms that it will open within ourselves. We can hire a taxi driver to take us to the cinema. We can ask a friend to make us a cup of coffee. We can ask someone tall to reach something down from the top shelf. But there are some things we have to do for ourselves. And thinking about the future, thinking about what's down the line, is one of those things we have to do for ourselves. Paul wrote, "For me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain." What is living and dying to me? What is living and dying to you? We need to take time to think. And sometimes life is so busy and there's so many things on that these things get pushed to the peripheral. But it's good for everyone to take time to think. Take a barometer reading. Our barometer may indicate a low pressure. We know what it is to live with Jesus as Lord, no matter how imperfectly we do that. We've given our present, our past, and our future into Jesus' hands. We don't know what's down the line, but we're not necessarily scared of it. We know that whatever is in our future, it's in Christ's hands, and we're comfortable with that. It might be we take a barometer reading and it shows that it's a little bit cloudy. We do our best. We've given ourselves to Christ. But we're always worried that we're not doing it right. We're worried that there's things in our past or present that will make Jesus turn his back on us. And no. The answer to that is no. Jesus loves us more than we can ever love him. And he will never, ever turn his back on us. That is the promise. Sometimes we can take a barometer reading and it's full of high pressure zones all over the place. This is something, our future is something we just don't want to think about. And we refuse to think about it. We say, no, this is not a question for now. For me to live is now, and just for me to live is to get on with it. And to die is something for the future. And that's not an unusual, best will in the world, that's not an unusual conclusion to come to when hearing these words. This is something we need to consider for ourselves, within ourselves and before Christ. But let's not forget that Jesus, the reason we call him Christ is that that word is not his surname, Andy Hay, Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed one, chosen one. The one who is chosen to love us more than anyone else, to die for us, to reach out for us and never let go. When you lift your eyes to Medusa, you'll turn to stone. You lift your eyes to Jesus, even for a split second. And he's with you. And his answer is yes. I'm with you now. I'm with you forever. Nothing can ever take you out of my hands. This is the good news that we can offer, that we can receive. To live can be Christ. And to die can be even more. Let's take a quiet moment and then let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that no matter how many years we've known you and known your name, that your message is still a simple one. Not an easy one, but a simple one. That you offer us life through the work of your dear Son. And Holy Spirit, be with us today. Reassure us or teach us of your presence as we look to our Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, we ask you to hear the prayers that we offer now in faith. For the peace that comes from God alone, for the unity of all people, and for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the Church of Christ, all denominations, world over. We pray for our Bishop David. We pray for Jonathan, our rector, and for all the people of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, for those countries that are still at war after so many months and so many years. We pray for the people of Libya who have been hit by unspeakable devastation. We pray for our government and for all in authority. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this city of Belfast, and we pray for this parish. We pray for our neighbours and our friends, and we give them into your hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for this good earth which you have given us, Heavenly Father. We pray for the wisdom and the bravery to conserve it. And we pray for those who are speaking out about conservation in different and brave ways. Would you help us to listen and to love what you've given us? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the aged and the infirm. We pray for those who are in mourning. We pray for those who are sick. And we remember especially those who have got operations ahead of them this week and in the near future. Would you give them peace in their heart and assurance in their spirit? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather together all of these prayers as we pray together that prayer that your dear Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So as we think of that perspective of eternity and of God's everlasting love for us, let's sing hymn 667, Blessed Be the Everlasting God. Thank you for sharing with us in our service today. And as our service draws to a close, we're going to invite anybody who can help us at the end just to remove the chairs to the side for toddlers tomorrow and to prepare the upper hall for our evening service. Let's bow our heads now for God's blessing as we go into the week that is to come. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 567, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go.